is the oral argument session for the northern panel of the court. Our first case this morning is County of Clark v. Howard Hughes Company, 60790. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Johnson?
I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, if I may.
Okay.
This case is a tax dispute over property in Clark County. The Howard Hughes Company filed a petition for judicial review and a request for refund under NRS 361.420. 361.420 states that a party that's unhappy with their taxes may bring suit against the county in which the taxes were paid in any court of competent jurisdiction in the state of Nevada. While 361.420 permits a tax refund suit, it is not a venue statute per se. It doesn't say, really explain where that suit should be held. However, in 361.710, makes applicable all of the general venue statutes to cases under 360 in Chapter 361. And under the general venue statutes in NRS 13.030, they require that a county be sued in its own courts. The Hughes Company has argued that 233B should be governed here, .130, the venue provisions in the Administrative Procedure Act, but they don't really apply here because they didn't file timely under the Administrative Procedure Act, although it was timely under the Tax Refund Act. And the more specific provisions of NRS 361.710 should control in these tax refund cases over the general provisions of the Administrative Procedure Act. The taxpayers and the court, in this order, concede that NRS 361 is more specific on the time to file for a refund because they missed the 30-day window, but they made the 90-day window under 361.420. But then they go on to say that 233B should control on venue. But it's the opinion of the county and the county assessor that you can't have it both ways. If 361 is controlling on the timeliness of appeal, it should also be controlling on the venue where the appeal is held. The tax refund statute requirements supersede the general requirements of the APA on timeliness and venue because they are more specific as to tax refund claims versus the general administrative review under 233B. As both the court and the taxpayers also stated, 233B supplements but does not supplant Chapter 361. So where 361 has a specific provision on a specific issue, like the timeliness of the appeal or where the venue should be, then that should be controlling. I'd also like to refer the court to the supplemental case I filed. In that case, it was in federal court. They had a very similar statute that said suit could be in any court of competent jurisdiction. But there was really no explanation in the statute what that meant, what competent jurisdiction meant. So they analyzed at least half a dozen federal cases and found that that was not a venue statute. It was only a statute that gave you the right to sue. And, of course, with property taxes, you don't have a right to get a refund in the absence of a statute. And that's what 361.420 is, the refund statute. So in light of that, it's the county's position that venue should be in Clark County as under the tax refund statute in 361.710. And are there any questions?
I don't think so. I think we understand your position, counsel.
All right. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Okay. Mr. Cohen.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Max Cuvier and I represent the respondent, Howard Hughes Company. This case provides the court with an opportunity to address two important issues regarding property tax disputes. The first issue, which the county concedes, is a timeliness issue within which a taxpayer must file, seek judicial review of a decision by the State Board of Equalization. And as the county concedes, that is governed by NRS 361-420, subsection 3.
They didn't concede it was timely under 233B, though, did they?
No, they didn't. And
how do you address that?
Well, because 361-420 is the specific statute addressing these petitions for judicial review. And under the rules of statutory construction, the specific statute will trump the more general statute, which is under 233B-130. The express terms of 233B, in fact, defer to the more specific provisions, like the three-month filing provision of 361-420 subsection 3, to specifically govern property tax appeals of a decision by the State Board of Equalization. Specifically, NRS 233B.020 subsection 2 provides that the provisions of this chapter are intended to supplement statutes applicable to specific agencies, such as the State Board of Equalization. The statute continues, this chapter does not abrogate or limit additional requirements imposed on such agencies by statute or otherwise recognized by law. And therefore, the provisions of 361-420 regarding the timeliness of the petition would trump the general provisions under 233B-130 subsection 2C. I'll address the second issue, which concerns the proper venue for these petitions. And again, NRS 361-420 is the specific statute which trumps the county's arguments. NRS 361-420 subsection 2 and its legislative history clearly provide that venue is proper in any court of competent jurisdiction in Nevada. There is no ambiguity, latent or otherwise.
Could you file in White Pine? Could you file in Lyon County?
Under the statute.
Or Chico County?
Under the statute, yes, you could. And this is the specific statute which trumps all other statutes. Now, the county alleges that the underlying petition for judicial review is a lawsuit against the county, and therefore NRS 13.03 applies. The underlying matter, however, is not a lawsuit against the county, and neither NRS Chapter 13 nor Lyon versus Washoe at 104 Nevada 765 apply here. The matter below is a petition for judicial review under NRS 361-420 for judicial review of a decision by the State Board of Equalization. At issue is the decision of the State Board. There are no claims asserted against the county. The role of the district court in the underlying action is solely an appellate function, whose sole purpose is to review the decision of the Board of Equalization, based solely upon the administrative record. The district court does not weigh any evidence. It does not assess the credibility of witnesses. It does not substitute its judgment for that of the State Board of Equalization. There is no jury. And the court is limited to the administrative record. The court's limited rule is expressly stated in NRS 361-420 and in developed authority regarding the purpose of the district court in reviewing administrative decisions.
So you're saying lawsuit and judicial review are separate things. They're not the same.
That is correct. There's no claims being asserted here, Your Honor. It's purely an appellate function.
Is there a Nevada case that says that? Or is this the one that you wouldn't want us to say it in?
Your Honor, it's specifically provided for in NRS 361-425, which limits the role of the district court to the appellate-type function. There are also several lines of authority which express the role of the district court in hearing the administrative, in reviewing the administrative decisions of underlying cases. And if it would please the court, I'd be happy to supplement our briefing with that additional authority.
But as of now, there's no case that states specifically what you say, that judicial review is not a lawsuit, or the lawsuit is not judicial review.
Well, there are cases that the cases hold in is that the function of the district court in hearing these administrative appeals is solely as the function as this honorable court does, which is to review the underlying record and to make a determination whether the decision in the district court's instance, whether the decision by the administrative body, in this case being the State Board of Equalization, was correct or not. But there are no witnesses, there's no discovery, it is not an active lawsuit for all intents and purposes.
Well, we're trying to teach these future young lawyers that are in the courtroom from Boyd about simplicity in legal writing. And one of the things is, my question really was, is there a case specifically that says that judicial review is not a lawsuit and a lawsuit is not judicial review?
There is no specific case on
that's
that.
That's my one. No, thank you.
Thank you.
What comment do you have with respect to counsel's reference or referral of the court to the federal case evaluating competent jurisdiction?
Yes, Your Honor. And what I would defer the court here to is the legislative history of NRS 361-420. And I have provided counsel with the legislative history, and if it would please the court, I also have for the court to review in ABA 209, Assembly Bill 209, which was introduced in 2007. And in that particular Assembly Bill, there was a proposal to amend NRS 361-420 subsection 2. And that proposal, in essence, would have required the petitions for judicial review to be filed in the county in which the taxes were paid. And that proposed amendment was reviewed both in the Assembly and in the Senate. And it was ultimately rejected by the full legislature, electing to maintain the venue statute as clearly written, being that it would be proper in any county of competent jurisdiction in Nevada. Now, the default provision to that, if the legislative history was not enough, is that NRS 233B would provide proper venue. And in this case, there's an irony here, and that is that the county somehow opposes the default application of NRS 233B as applying the default position for venue. In case there was some ambiguity regarding the venue under 361-420, our position, when we filed in and stated in our briefs, is that if NRS 361-420 was somehow unclear about venue, the default position would be under NRS 233B 130 subsection 2B, which provides for venue in Carson City, which is precisely where we are. Position that we take is, of course, our petition was filed under both NRS 361 and NRS 233B to the extent that it's necessary to fill in the gaps. The county takes a similar position in a case presently pending before the court in Sun City. The Sun City matter is case number 60776. In that case, the county champions the position we take here, which is stated in the reply brief that was filed in connection with that case. In that case, the reply brief at page 9, lines 22 through 23, the county says, where Chapter 361 of NRS is silent, Chapter 233B supplements to fill in the gaps. So to the extent that the venue is somehow unclear under 361, the federal case is simply inapplicable because the answer is provided under 233B, which provides that venue is proper in the First Judicial District Court.
So the federal case's analysis of competent jurisdiction doesn't have application under our statute?
No, because our statutory scheme and legislative history provide that answer.
And the legislative scheme means the absence of any action in 2007?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Your Honor, I would submit to the court that in this fluctuating economy, the property values fluctuating as well, these are important issues for taxpayers. And NRS 361-420 clearly provide the answers and clearly provide for venue. And again, to the extent that venue is somehow found to be vague or ambiguous, then what's clearly championed is that NRS 233B would supplement any venue provisions, which would put us back into the First Judicial District Court, which is precisely where this petition is pending. And we would ask the court to affirm the district court's denial of the county's motion to transfer venue.
Just out of curiosity, what's the benefit to you to file in Carson City in the First Judicial District as opposed to Clark County? And isn't that an inconvenience to someone having to respond to a tax matter that's basically has its effect in Clark County to defend that in Carson City?
Yes, Your Honor. And to address the potential burdens, what the legislature answered that in 2007 when it considered the amendment of which would have provided for venue to be for these judicial petitions in the county in which the tax.
Let me answer my question. What's the benefit to you, and why isn't it? Is it just to inconvenience the other side? What's the benefit?
Yes, Your Honor. The benefit to us, Your Honor, is that the First Judicial District Court is on the one hand more familiar with these sorts of issues. The courts there generally deal with these appellate reviews and are familiar with both the APA and NRS 361. And from our position, it's also less burdensome on the court system overall, as that the First Judicial their caseload is significantly less than the 8th Judicial District Court.
Not really, counsel. Not really.
Not really, Your Honor.
And according to our annual report, the First Judicial District Court has an extraordinary caseload, and part of it has to do with exactly this situation. Almost all of these review petitions end up in the First Judicial District Court, as opposed to courts throughout the state. You're right, they may develop some expertise as a consequence, but why didn't the legislature just say all tax appeals are going to end up in the First Judicial District Court instead of the language they used?
Because it would left it up to the taxpayers to make that decision, Your Honor.
Okay.
And to the extent necessary, 233B would supply the additional supplement to fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm. Were you finished with your answer?
Yes, Your Honor. Is there any additional
questions? No, you answered. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Counsel?
I'll try to be brief.
Plenty of time. You don't have to be brief.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question right out of the chute.
If you have questions, I'm glad to answer.
This thing about the lawsuit against the county is a lawsuit. Judicial review is not a lawsuit or a lawsuit.
I think it's all the same. The statute, if you look at 361 and 420, it's if you look at subsection 5, it talks about that for claims under A, B, C, and D are treated as a trial de novo, and claims under E, F, and G, which this just happens to be, a review on the record. But the part that talks about where you file, the part that we're arguing about, is the same, whether it's a trial de novo or a review on the record. Either way, it's a suit. You have to file a suit because you're trying to get a tax refund, and you can't get a tax refund unless you file a suit. The fact that it happens to be a review on the record doesn't change that. Either way, it's a suit. That's our position.
What about the position that they could be filed any place? It could be filed in Lyon County, it could be filed in White Pine, Elk Grove.
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, should they be able to drag Clark County up to anywhere in the state that they have to
That's what the statute says.
Well, the statute says you may bring suit in any court of competent jurisdiction. And I think that federal case makes it clear the competent jurisdiction includes, you have to look at the venue statutes. And in this case, it's even more applicable because we have 361.710, which specifies that Title II, that has the venue statutes in it, applies in every case under 361. unless there's a conflict, and there is no conflict, because 361.420 just says you may bring suit in any court of competent jurisdiction, then you go to 710, which refers you to the venue statutes.
Well, are we conflating, and I love to use the word conflating, which I had never heard of until I became a Supreme Court justice, are we conflating jurisdiction and venue in this situation?
Yeah, well, I think my opinion of what the statute says is that you can bring the suit any way you want to, because any court in the state can hear a lawsuit for a tax refund. But if the party that you're suing objects because the venue is not proper, then it has to be moved. So I don't have a problem with the fact that they filed in Carson City. They can bring their suit there, but they cannot maintain it there. If under the venue statutes, Clark County comes in and says, we don't want to go to Carson City to litigate this property tax matter that has nothing to do with Carson City. We want it down here where it belongs.
Doesn't that argument concede the point that competent jurisdiction only refers to the jurisdiction of the district court, not the venue?
Well, I think jurisdiction also includes venue. Any court
that takes us to Justice Cherry's point, are we not conflating the subject matter of jurisdiction and venue? You can't use the phrase competent jurisdiction in a venue sense. Jurisdiction refers to the court's jurisdiction. By your own argument, it can be filed anywhere. Now the question is, where should it be transferred?
Yeah, and I think that's the issue that the court has to decide. Does this statute, even though you may file it anywhere, does it mean that you can maintain it there? If the opposing party comes in and says, I object to venue, it should be somewhere else. It's not that the court is incompetent per se, but that the venue is improper. And I think that the analysis in the IBP case says that that's the correct reading, that you should, that these general statutes that say, yes, you can bring a suit to get a tax refund, they're not really concerned with venue. They're just saying that that's how you get your refund, you bring a suit.
How do you address counsel's argument that in the other case, the default position is 233B under for a proper venue, and yet the county here relies on Chapter 13?
Well, I think that the county's been entirely consistent, because what we've argued is that 233B, and this is consistent with your case law, supplements but does not supplant Chapter 361. So where 361 is silent and it doesn't say anything about it, then you can look to 233B to supplement that. But in this case, it is not silent. 361.710 specifies that the venue statutes apply to it when you bring a case under Chapter 361. And not the ADA. And I think that counsel has repeated several times that Chapter 361.420 is more specific and trumps 233B.130. So they need to make that argument in order to meet the timeliness requirement, because they were untimely under the ADA. But they can say, well, but it's 90 days under 361. But then they turn right around and say, well, even though 361 provides that the general venue statutes apply, we really like what 233B says better. So it is going to supplant in that instance, which I don't think you can do. That's inconsistent.
So the action itself for a refund, a claim for refund, is this really the distinguishing feature in your argument?
Exactly. That this isn't just a general APA judicial review case. This is a specific tax refund claim that has to be done under the provisions of Chapter 361.
So if the legislature had intended that these matters be reviewed in the same sense, even though they are asking the district court and ultimately the Supreme Court to examine the subject matter on a de novo basis, the legislature has created two separate vehicles for identifying where the case should go, depending on whether it's a judicial review petition or a complaint for refund. Is that what your argument is?
Well, I think 361.420 is a hybrid statute, that some things will get a new hearing. I think if you look at it, the ones that get a new hearing are claims of exemption or that the taxes have already been paid, things that typically the state board does not get involved in. Those that do not get a new hearing have already had their hearing at the state board. But either way, you have to follow the same statutory requirements as to where you bring your suit. I would like to address the legislative history.
Just characterize a complaint or a claim for the recovery of the refund, a complaint.
I would, and that's the way the statute characterizes it, and I think that's what it is, because in the absence of a statute allowing for a refund, there is no refund of taxes. Once they're paid, they're paid. And in some states, you have to go and get an injunction to prevent payment of the taxes, or you're just out of luck, because once you pay them, they're gone. But here, we've provided that you can get a refund, so you have to pay first and then go to court. But if you, and you have to comply with those statutory requirements to get that refund.
Okay.
If I could, I'd like to just briefly address the legislative history argument.
Sure.
This statute was originally passed in 1917 and provided that a taxpayer may commence a suit against the state and county. That's all it said. That was 1917 Statutes of Nevada, Chapter 177, Section 11C. The current language was added in 1933, that a taxpayer may commence a suit in any court of competent jurisdiction in the state of Nevada against the state and county. 1933 Statutes of Nevada, Chapter 103, Section 11B. I think that the council's argument really is irrelevant. That really isn't legislative history. There was a bill introduced, you know, 70 years later to try to clarify that these should be brought in the counties where the taxes were paid, and that proposed amendment was ultimately withdrawn. It never got out of committee. So the legislature as a whole never even considered that. I don't think that really tells you anything about what was the intent of the 1933 statute was. And I think that when you look at the case law and you look at what really makes sense, that these should be heard in the counties where the taxes were paid, then you arrive at the conclusion that venue is proper in Clark County and is not proper in Carson City.
What about their argument about expertise of Judge Russell and Judge Wilson, who hear these cases all the time in the First District, as opposed to our 32 civil criminal judges, and now because of our recent decision, our family court judges, you could probably hear this?
Well, as far as taxes go, I don't know that there are that many tax cases that come. I've argued tax cases in Clark County as well as in Carson City, and I don't know that the judges up there are any better at analyzing these questions than the judges down here are. I think the reality is that the reason they want it in Carson City is because they think it's more likely they're going to prevail up there, because they like the judges up there, and they don't really want to have the judges down here hearing their cases. So.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, and it's not to insult either side about judge shopping. Are we not just judge shopping?
That's my opinion.
On both sides, though. I mean, you want Clark County, and they want Carson City.
Look at this. Carson City, you have two judges. You get one or the other. Down here, you have 30 or something.
32, plus 20, 20.
The chances that you'll get the judge you happen to like down here is much less than if you go to Carson City. And even up there, if you get the judge you don't like, you can file a petition and get it moved to the other judge. I mean, you can always pretty much guarantee you get whichever judge you like up there. Any other questions?
Are there any questions?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you for your briefs and your argument. And we'll proceed to the next case. This case stands submitted.